You are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful planet we call Earth. Thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. And for those of you joining us for the very, very first time, welcome aboard. We're glad you're here, and I think you will be as well. In the news, you're probably already aware of this. It's been out there now for several days, but some scientists in France have been doing some studies on the telemetry sent back by some satellites and have determined that this big, huge North Polar ice cap on Mars is pure water. They said it's about 95% pure. That's about as clean as you ever would find it anywhere. And there it is, just sitting, waiting to be harvested by colonists, if you will, who may one day inhabit Mars. Sitting right there on Mars, North Polar ice cap, 95% pure water. And you know how much there is? They have estimated, based on their readings from the satellite, that there's about 100 times more water right there than in the North American Great Lakes. Now, folks, that is a lot of water. You could have a colony or 2 or 12 or 200 on Mars using that water for many, many many years. So that's pretty exciting news. We've got, speaking of exciting news, I've got something special for you tonight, and here it is. You know, we have our members area. It's free to listen to the show. It's free to listen to our latest show. You know, after this show, the recordings of this show go up on the website. It's up there for 24 hours. But our podcasts, our Video Galaxy, our chat room, our forums, all that's in the members area. Everyone who signs up for the members area tonight on an annual membership, if you sign up for an annual membership tonight only, this is your bonus. What we're going to do is send you, as a thank you gift, this Ed Grimsley's Night Vision UFO Wars, okay? So if you sign up for an annual membership tonight, a lot of you have been thinking, well, you know, someday I'm going to do that. Well, today's the day, and you get this as a free bonus for doing it, all right? That only works while we're live on the air. After we go off the air, that won't work, okay? So you've got about 2 hours now to do this, and then you can join in all the fun. Speaking of which, next Saturday, not this coming Saturday, but a week from this coming Saturday, will be the first Saturday of February. And the first Saturday night of every month, I'm in the chat room, and we just sort of, I would say we let our hair down, but I don't have any. But we just kind of rock and roll. Whatever you want to talk about, we just let it go and have fun. And if you want to join the party in the chat room on Saturday, a week from this Saturday, then you need to be a member at the Kevin Smith Show. Join tonight on an annual membership and get your free copy of UFO Wars DVD, the Night Vision DVD, as a bonus gift. All right, we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and I think you're really going to enjoy our guest this evening. Our guest this evening is Paul Dale Roberts. Paul Dale Roberts, among other things, is one of the writers you'll find at Alien Seeker News. He's got a lot of articles there, very interesting things. He has done investigations on Bigfoot. He's investigated UFOs at Mount Shasta. He seeks out werewolves, witches, vampires, residual haunting activity located at murder scenes, ghosts, and demons. And that's after he spent a good amount of time, about 12 years in the U.S. Army, working for Drug Suppression Team, Criminal Investigation Division in Germany. And then he went into military intelligence as a 97 Bravo intelligence analyst at the Photo Interpretation Center in Korea. He later worked with OPFOR, which is opposing forces, in which he wore a Soviet uniform, ski mask, gloves, and spoke with a fake Russian accent. And he would teach elite troops like Navy SEALs, Special Forces, Delta Force, 101st Airborne, 82nd Airborne, Army Rangers, Air Force Special Operations, Marine Recon about the Soviet threat. Paul Dale Roberts, welcome to the Kevin Smith Show.
Thank you, Kevin. How you doing?
I'm doing well, sir. I appreciate you being with us this evening. I think we are going to have a good time. I looked at a lot of the material that I could find on the internet about you and a lot of things that you've written, and I am amazed. I really am. Let me start off with let me just start this way. With your background in the military, in law enforcement, in intelligence and in training special forces, why are you investigating paranormal phenomena now?
Well, one thing, Kevin, I've always been interested in the paranormal because when I was a young child, I thought I lived in a haunted house. And it was a house off Effie Street in Fresno, and a lot of things happened to me. And so as I grew older, I was wondering, I said, are these childhood nightmares, or did I really witness the paranormal? So I started reading everything about ghosts and everything else, and then I got into UFOs, and before I knew it, I was reading everything paranormal. I was reading Brad Steiger's books and stuff like that. So I was always fascinated with the paranormal because I thought I lived in a haunted house when I was a small child.
Now, looking back on it, what do you think? Were you living in a haunted house?
I still know that answer. But the only thing is, when I became a paranormal investigator, I was a skeptic. Mm-hmm. I was a skeptic on ghosts. I wasn't a skeptic on UFOs, and I'll explain that later. But after doing something like 100 investigations, maybe over 100, with HPI, Haunted Paranormal Investigations, I actually witnessed the paranormal, and I know for a fact that there's life after death.
When you say you actually witnessed the paranormal, what did you witness?
Well, in one situation, Shannon McCabe, well, she's the president of HPI, and she sent me on this assignment to this one home, which is supposed to be haunted. And we didn't get any kind of EVPs. We didn't even get a dust orb. And so I told Shannon, I said, well, you know what? I'll bring the scouts over there. And the scouts are ghost hunters in training. They're learning to be ghost hunters. And I said, well, it'll be fun for them to go in there to see if the place is haunted or not. I said, even though that the place is not haunted. And Shannon goes, wait a minute, it is haunted. I go, how is it haunted? I didn't get any EVPs. And she says, no. She goes, there was an investigative team that I sent in before you, and they actually got some EVPs. And I said, really? Interesting. So we went into this place, and I had about 15 people with me. And I broke teams up into about three teams, and we went into different areas. This one bedroom, Kevin, was all types of activity happening in there. The first team that went in there, you can hear this little girl giggling. And it was no more than 3 feet away on the bed. And there was no little girl there. And I said, can you guys hear this? And there was like five people in there, five investigators, five scouts. And they said, yeah, we can hear it. We're recording it. I go, oh, my God, you know, so. And then she giggles again. So I put my head down close to where the sound was coming from. And I said, hi. And there was a little girl, and she goes, hi. And I go, whoa, that is something else. So that was the first thing. Then the second team that went in, and mind you, the other teams in the other rooms, they're bored to death. They're ready to fall asleep because nothing's happening. They go, this place is not haunted. And I go, just hold on because I'm going to take you into a room that has a lot of activity. So the second team goes in there, and the walkie-talkie, oh, wait a minute. First off, the walls, there was a knocking on the wall when this one of the ladies in there, she says, make your presence known. And there was a knocking on the wall. And then one of the walkie-talkie turns on by itself, and it was the same little girl, and she goes, well, thank you, you know, for letting us know that you're here by knocking on the wall. And it was a little girl's voice, and she goes, you're welcome. So I said, okay, there's something going on here in this room. So what I did was I took all 15 scouts into that room, and we had a seance. And during the seance, I said, okay, please show yourself, make yourself known. And the walls actually sound like they were ripped apart. It sounded like something out of Hellraiser where the Cenobites are coming right through the walls. And the walls are just like ripping apart. There's a series of knocks. And mind you, these are ghost hunters in training, so they're not used to all this paranormal stuff. And they're getting really freaked out. The girl that's holding my hand to my right, she practically just tears up my arm. She's so scared. And it was like five people. They start crying. They're running out the door. And I had to get them back in there. We start the seance all over again. And there's five walkie-talkies on. And they're all on the same channel. And one walkie-talkie turns on the one that's sitting in the middle of the circle. And it was a man's voice. And it goes, get out. And by that time, everybody's running out the door except me. So it's like, okay. Finally, the occupant, she comes over to me and she goes, Paul, look, I have to live in this house. Please, let's end this. I go, okay. So, you know, I had to respect her and I ended the session. But she allowed me, after the scouts all left, she allowed me to stay in that most haunted room. So here I am with a video camera on me while falling asleep, and you can hear me sleeping, and I sleep pretty hard. And right over my sleeping, you can hear a woman say my name three times. She says, Paul, Paul, Paul. And then there's a man chattering over my sleeping noise. And then there was a child, sounds like from the foot of the bed, was moaning. And there was a series of knocks on the headboard. And through the whole thing, I'm sleeping.
So you weren't aware that all that was going on. You just found out later when you ran the tape back, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
And that was like one of the strangest cases I've ever been on.
I want us to come back to some of the strange cases that you've been on, but I want to talk about, well, it may be one of the strange cases, I don't know, but you've recently been to Aruba to check on the Natalie Holloway case, right?
Right.
All right. First, what made you decide you needed to go check on Natalie Holloway case? And secondly, what, if anything, did you discover?
Well, one of the things is when I write my articles for Alien Seeker News, which is a great site, and that's where I discovered the Kevin Smith Show, and I always put my contact information on my article. So I got a phone call, and it was a person from Aruba, and they didn't want to identify themselves, but they said that a lot of people on the island were actually seeing a blonde phantom woman walking on the beaches of Aruba. So I said, that sounds interesting. I said, do you think it could be Natalie Holloway? He goes, I don't know, but everybody thinks it is. So I talked to my travel agent. She got me a good deal. And before I knew it, in January, I'm flying to Aruba. So I fly over to Aruba, and I start talking. I'm very social, so it's not hard for me to start talking to people on the street. And I start asking a bunch of people. I said, have you heard a story about a blonde phantom woman walking the beaches of Aruba? And they said, yeah, it's Natalie Holloway. I go, okay. And I got to talking to some people who actually, two people I talked to, I must have talked to like 20 people, but two people that I talked to actually knew Joran's Circle of Friends. And these two people...
Are you talking about Joran Vandersloot?
Yes, yes, exactly. And they told me, they said, well, I knew his circle of friends and everything else, and what happened was when he met Natalie, I guess Natalie came on to him, she was kind of drunk, he put drugs in her drink. Him and those two other guys, I forget what their name is right now, took her over to the beach. He kicked out the two other guys so he can be alone with Natalie. And she went into convulsions, and he freaked out because he knew it was his drugs that were in her drink. And so he contacted, and on his confession, he says he contacted a friend who had a boat that took her out into the ocean. Well, according to these two people, it wasn't a friend. It was his father who had a boat. His father goes over there, takes Natalie's body into the boat. They don't know that she's dead or not. And it was
this is what
into the ocean.
This is what people in Aruba were telling you, right?
Exactly.
Uh huh.
And I mean, this is the story that's going around, and this is something that the police should actually really look into, because they're saying that his father that took Natalie on the boat and dumped her in the ocean. And I said, well, do the police know about it? Did you go to the police? They said, the police already know about it. They said, that's why Duran's father was arrested that one time and they let him go. And I made a few, sent out a few emails to the police out there and, gave them the information that I had. They never responded or anything like that. So, and one of the ladies that I interviewed actually, gave me her name. She goes, you can go ahead and use my name in the article. And, yeah, I do know Joran's friends. And this is the story that's going around. This is the story that Joran told his friends. I go, wow, okay. So while I was there, I went to the different beach locations that they said that Natalie could have been dropped off at. And so I went over there, did some EVP work. I did a lot of EVP work. The waters don't crash into the island, so there's no water noise. There's no ocean noise. There's no wave action. And so it's very quiet out there. And I did a lot of EVP work over there, asking all types of different questions, maybe 15 times, doing something. And then finally I was successful where I said, Natalie, how did you die? And I got a woman's voice where she says, don't know. So that was one. And then the other one, in fact, I can actually sing you the EVP sometime if you want to play them.
Absolutely. I'd love to. Absolutely.
Oh, okay, great.
Now, I'm not surprised that you did not get a response back from the police. Listen, when this thing started, when it all was fresh, it was new, and the investigation had just begun, within a day or two, I was talking about it on this show, and I said, folks, the fix is in. This is going to be a wash. You know, they're going to cover this up. It is my opinion that that is precisely what happened. Now, you are an ex-cop. I am an ex-cop. We've both worked in international settings. As you look at the way that investigation was handled, I'll tell you, my impression was that was the sloppiest, most irregular, irresponsible investigative work that I have ever seen. And it was as if they were doing the cover-up right out in public, and they didn't care if the whole world watched. That's my opinion. What do you think about it?
That's my opinion, too. It definitely is a cover-up. And it's a real shame. I mean, with all this information, here I am, just an average Joe, a ghost hunter out there in Aruba, and I get all this information right on the street. I mean, and I even provided them the name of the person who doesn't mind talking to the police. And I never got any kind of response back. They just totally ignore it. And with all that information, it has to be some kind of substance of truth there. There's a foundation there, you know, and they need to look at it and find out what's going on.
Well, I agree, except I think they already know exactly what's going on. I think they knew within 24 hours what had happened.
I think so, too, Kevin. I think so, too. And I hate to say that. I really do. But, yeah, I really do. I think they know everything.
Mm-hmm.
And they just completely they turn their heads on it. And it's horrible. I can't believe they're doing that.
Well, and this is why I have not changed my opinion. At the time, I called for all Americans to boycott Aruba. And the reason is not because a crime happened to an American. That can happen anywhere. It's because of the official response of the government, which basically said, we want your money, but, you know, you as a person can just go to hell. We don't care about you, but we want your money. That's what the response of that government said. Well, I don't think they deserve our money. And I think that absolutely no American should be a tourist in Aruba. You should not spend your money there. Crime can happen to you anywhere, but at least in most countries, you get a good investigation out of it.
Right.
Yeah. All right. We've just got a couple of minutes here until we go to break. Did you find out anything about the Natalie Holloway case that really was an oh my God moment?
Well, with the EVPs, you know, I can't verify. I can't say, well, that is Natalie Holloway, because the EVPs, you know, the woman who's talking to me, the entity, she doesn't say, I'm Natalie Holloway. Even though I did say, Natalie, how did you die? And the response was, don't know. And with my, you know, with getting EVPs, they usually only say about 3 or 4 words, because they have to gather energy. I guess, you know, they can't carry on the full-on conversation with me. So I can't come back here and say, yeah, I did talk to Natalie Holloway, because I don't really know.
Mm-hmm.
But I did get an EVP of an entity.
All right. And is it your opinion that it was Natalie? Is that what you think?
I kind of think that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but like I said, I can't verify it. I can't say for sure, yes, it was Natalie Holloway. That was the EVP of Natalie Holloway.
And this occurred at the beach where they say was the last place they know she was?
Right, and I asked the one girl who gave me her name. I said, well, what was the beach area? And so she took me to the beach area that, you know, supposedly Duran took her to.
All right. All right, we have to take a break, and we'll be back right after this. Don't forget, during this show, while it's live, if you sign up for our members area on an annual membership as a thank you gift, you get Ed Grimsley's UFO Wars, all right? Just a bonus gift. All right, we'll be back right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Paul Dale Roberts, and we are talking about paranormal investigation and some pretty interesting stuff, too. All right. Now, Paul, your bio says that you have actively gone out and sought werewolves and vampires. Did you find any?
Well, I actually interviewed three women who claimed to be werewolves. And one lady in particular, I told her I'll meet her over at Starbucks. And it was pretty crowded. And I walked up right up to her, and I've never seen her in my whole life. And she was kind of surprised, and she was taken aback. And she looks at me, and she goes, "How did you know it was me?" Well, it was kind of obvious, but I didn't tell her. But she was wearing a headband with wolf ears. She's wearing a T-shirt, says The Animal, and she has hair on her face and hair on her legs and hair on her arms. So it's kind of obvious she's the werewolf girl. So anyway, but she actually believes that she is a werewolf. She says she has a craving for raw meat. She can't keep a boyfriend because she says she's very, very aggressive during... we'll say a sexual liaison. So it's like, okay, she gets this animal, like during a full moon, she feels like chasing something and hunting something and killing it. And so it could be like a cat or something. And she was a little bit off the wall.
What about vampires?
I interviewed some vampires in San Francisco, and they said that they wear black because that way they can absorb energy. They get energy from blood. They find a few friends who they feel comfortable with, and they can actually take blood from them.
Yeah, on this show, I have interviewed one real vampire and two werewolves. One of those werewolves, I was told by a scientist connected with the government who had contact with this werewolf after the show, this is the truth, man. I was told by a government scientist that this was the real deal. This guy was real.
Wow.
And that kind of blew me away. And I'll tell you why. I mean, with me, it's not a question of do you believe in this or do you believe in that, because I don't believe in anything and I don't disbelieve in anything. It either is or it isn't. Mm-hmm. And whenever a werewolf is changing form, changing shape, if you just imagine the tremendous amount of... change, and you would think pain that would go with the bone structure changing, the muscle structure changing, if that were possible. It would just be a very, very excruciating experience, I would think. But then I'm not a werewolf, so I don't know.
This werewolf that you interviewed, he was actually saying that he can transform into a werewolf, from a man to a werewolf.
Yes.
Oh.
And the scientist... checked with both of them as well as with some others who claimed to be werewolves. He said this one that had been on my show was the real deal.
Wow.
And this is a scientist who has done mountains of work for the government in black projects and holds a bunch of patents. He's well known around the world. And so he says he's the real deal. I have to go with that. Now, when you talked with the werewolf, what was your personal impression? I mean, as a paranormal investigator, did you get the impression that this was for real?
I believe that in her mind, she actually believes that she is a werewolf. I believe the other two girls actually think they're werewolves. But I think it originates from their mind, and they just believe it so much that they feel like they need to have raw meat, they need to go on a hunt, they need to kill an animal or whatever they do. But actually being a real werewolf, not that werewolves don't exist, like the werewolf that you're talking about, that government scientist says is the real deal. I don't think the ones that I talked to were the real deal.
Mm-hmm. There are so many things in this universe that we don't understand. In fact, there are far more that we don't understand than there are that we do. I have publicly taken the position that we live in a paranormal universe.
We do. Absolutely. I believe that. And one of the things, the reason why that I became a 97 Bravo intelligence analyst for military intelligence is I always was curious just to know if the intelligence community knew anything about UFOs. And at some point in time, I said, okay, well, let me talk to the Army recruiter. And before I knew it, I was signing on the dotted line again. So, and then I was shipped out over to the Photo Interpretation Center in Korea, which I started working with image interpreters. And what they look at is reconnaissance, aerial photographs, they look at satellite photographs, etc. And working with them, it was one day over there that six unusual photographs came in. And these six photographs were still photographs from videos. And they were satellite photos. And they were satellite photos of UFOs. You had one that was the classic cigar shape. You had a disc shape, one was like a globe. And I had to give it a number, and I had to pass it over to the DIA, which is the Defense Intelligence Agency. And from there, they passed it on to the CIA. And from there, it went into a black hole, and it disappeared, and there was no more talk of it. So right there, I knew. I was saying to myself, I said, okay, after Project Blue Book, the Air Force intelligence is not concerned about UFOs. UFOs are swamp gas, weather inversions, et cetera, et cetera. But the military intelligence is still concerned about UFOs, because why would they have those six photographs? Why did they go up to the CIA? And why don't they want to talk about it?
Well, yeah, if there's nothing to it, if these are just anomalies in the camera or anomalies in the data transmission or something like that, why would you hide the photographs?
Exactly, here's the catch. The photographs, they wrote on each one of them, intelligent movement. And so that told me right there, I never saw the videos, but the videos must show some type of intelligent movement for military intelligence to be concerned.
I don't know if you have seen this video, this DVD that I was talking about, pardon me, that we're giving away, that we're giving away tonight as a bonus for people that join our members area on an annual basis. I don't know if you've seen it. It's Ed Grimsley's Night Vision UFO Wars. And using top grade, really top grade, night vision. You can see these things flying in space above the Earth, and you see them flying in formation. You see them making turns and doing maneuvers, and you know for sure, and they're going really fast, and you know for sure that you're not looking at satellites. They don't do that. You're not looking at stars or galaxies. They don't do that. And it's not birds. You've being in the military, you, I'm sure, at some point have looked through night vision equipment. And, you know, a bird through night vision still looks like a bird. It's just green. And or if you're using old Russian night vision, it's red. But and a bug still looks like a bug. You know, it doesn't distort what you're looking at. It just lights it up. Mm-hmm. And but on this video, you can actually, on this DVD, you can see them doing intelligent movement. Now, who are they? Don't know. Is it us or is it aliens? I don't know. But it's certainly somebody, something doing intelligent movement up there.
And what's really interesting, Kevin, is, like the Sumerians, I mean, that's an ancient civilization, very advanced, and the Sumerian tablets, what was written on them, either they were really great science fiction writers, or what they were writing was the truth. And they talk about the two half-brothers, Enlil and Enki, and how they came down with the Inukians. And they were mining gold to save their dying planet. And basically, Enlil was telling his half-brother, Enki, who was a scientist and a leader, to go ahead and create a slave race. With the manipulation of DNA, they came up with the Homo sapiens. And the Homo sapiens were out there mining this gold. And at some point in time, they were getting kind of rebellious, a little bit cocky. And so Enlil decides, well, okay, well, let me put them through a little testing ground. And that testing ground, if you look, compared to the Bible, would be the Garden of Eden. And Enki, who really loved his creation, these Homo sapiens, does the conniving or the manipulation with Eve, or whatever the Sumerians called her, and because he wanted her to have the knowledge, and he wanted Adam to have. In fact, Adam was called Adamu on the Sumerian clay tablet. And here we have the Bible, which is so similar to what was written on Sumerian clay tablets. And then at some point in time, Enlil is talking about, you know, a deluge, a flood, to destroy them because they're so rebellious and everything. And that's when Enki steps in and, you know, with the ark. And again, that's all like what the Bible has. So these stories, I just can't imagine an ancient civilization writing good science fiction like that. I believe what they're writing was the truth.
Well, one of the questions I think we have to ask ourselves, if we say this is just mythology, mythology is just stories and lore that's handed down for centuries and centuries and passed on through the culture, and it's very ancient. All right, now we're talking about the first city-dwelling civilization in the history of planet Earth, so far as we know. If this is mythology, where did they get it? Who Right. gave it to them? You know, that's a good question, and it's one that I think the answer to that question is a big void. I think the answer to that question is complete silence. We don't know how they could have gotten a myth. I mean, they would be where the myths originated, you know, with you had the facts, and then centuries later it turns into mythology. You follow what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So they would have been the origin point, and that to me indicates that what they wrote must have been the truth.
Right. And why all these different civilizations? So many are so close. Here you talked about in India.
I'll tell you what, hold that, because we have a break. When we come back from the break, we'll jump back in here with the story about India. All right, we'll be back, folks. Don't go away. More with Paul Dale Roberts right after this. And welcome back. My guest this evening is Paul Dale Roberts. Paul, when we cut away for the break, you were about to mention some evidence from India.
Right. India. Okay, the ancient Indians, they on their Indian texts, they talk about Vimanas. And Vimanas are these flying machines. And the flying machines, they talk about three different types. One that can take you to city, another one which can take you to country, and the other one can take you to planet. And then again, why are they writing these things? I mean, again, is this science fiction, you know, ancient science fiction, or is it the truth? And some of the drawings that they had of these Vimanas, they look like our modern-day helicopters and airplanes and rocket ships. It's just absolutely amazing. And Shannon McKay, who's the president of HVI, we were contacted by Penn & Teller's show, which they're very much skeptics. And
oh, yeah, very much. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. And they read my article on the Mayan prophecy of 2012. So they flew us down to Mexico to Chichen Itza, and we investigated the pyramids over there. And some ufologists, they actually bring laser lights, and they use flashlights, high-power flashlights, to try to signal UFOs and get an intelligent signal back. So they had us do that, but the only thing is, reality TV is not reality. They have it like we're out there all night long, but we're actually out there for no more than maybe 20 minutes trying to signal UFOs. So when you do watch the show, it comes on May 2009, it's BS. And that's why the show is called BS. So, but anyway, while I was there, though, what is so interesting about the Mayans is that they were so well-versed with astronomy. And how is it that they knew that on December 21st, 2012, that our sun will be in alignment with the Milky Way, the center of the Milky Way? And why is it that they said that there was a womb in the middle of the Milky Way? And now our scientists found out that there's a black hole in the middle of our Milky Way. And how is it that they had this type of knowledge? How is it that the Dogon tribe knew about Sirius II? I mean, they must have been, the only logical reasoning I can even think of is that we were actually visited by ancient gods, extraterrestrials, who gave us this information, and that's why these ancient people, these ancient civilizations, actually are aware of all these things.
Well, I don't have any problem with that at all. You know, they knew about things that, well, for instance, the Sumerians knew about this planet that we called Pluto, you know, 5,000 years ago. We didn't discover that thing till 1930.
Mm-hmm.
So how did they know? It's kind of interesting. Paul, I ran I did a show about that, and then I ran a survey on my website, an opinion poll. And I explained that the reason we had not discovered Pluto until 1930 is because you can't see it.
Mm-hmm.
And even with the most powerful telescopes available in 1930, they could just barely see it. And that's true even today, with the telescopes we have today. And so I asked you in the poll, you know, how do you think the Sumerians knew about this planet that we call Pluto? And one of the options was they were just very good observers. One of the options was that they had been visited by extraterrestrials who told them about it. And I had a couple of more options. It amazed me. I really cannot remember what the percentage was, but it was a, it was significant. It was like, you know, 20% or something that said they were just very good observers. Well, they'd have to be exceptional observers because on the clearest night in the history of the universe, with the most powerful binoculars ever, you'll never see Pluto, and they didn't have binoculars. And in fact, on the clearest night in the history of the universe, with most telescopes, you'll never see Pluto. And they didn't have telescopes, so how did they know? Well,
did they know?
You know, as you say, the only logical answer has to be somebody told them.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now, you've written some about gnomes and little people. This is not changing the subject. This is attaching gnomes and little people to what we're talking about. First of all, do they exist? And secondly, if they do, are they from this planet?
And I actually don't think they're from this planet. I think what we have, gnomes, elves, and everything else, fairies, it's just amazing how the stories connect to UFOs. You have fairy circles, which could be something like crop circles, or it could be a UFO landing spot. Or they talked about how fairies would abduct humans and sometimes take the fetus from a pregnant woman. And that's something that we hear that the Greys did.
So you think they're the same thing?
Yeah, I mean, you hear about the women with false pregnancies. They've been abducted, they were pregnant, and the next time they're abducted, they no longer have a child. And then later on they're abducted, and they see their child, which is now half alien, half human. And the fairy stories are so similar to stories about abductions. Sometimes they put you in, they have some type of wand or something and put you in, into a partial paralysis, which Greys are known to do. Angels are known to do, even in the Bible.
Well, even in the story about Adam and Eve, in the Bible, it talks about that the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam. And then he took a rib, and from that, he created Eve. And even though it doesn't use the words genetic engineering or cloning, that's exactly what's being described.
Right. And just, well, you just had John Vasquez on your... on your radio show, and didn't he say that when the UFOs went over the soldiers, the 1,300 soldiers, the battalion, that, you know, it was some type of light, and they went into a sleep?
Yes.
Right.
That's correct.
So, I mean, so many of the stories about fairies, elves, and everything else, gnomes, just like that little creepy little gnome that they have in Argentina... I think it's some type of extraterrestrial type being.
So you think they're real?
Huh?
So you think they're real?
Oh, I think they're real. Sure, because over at Mount Shasta, when we did an investigation on Mount Shasta, how funny it is because they say that there's a UFO base there. And how funny it is that they have a 24/7 video cameras. They have maybe about, 12. 24/7, these things are on 24/7, and they're called UFO cameras. Somebody's looking for UFOs and at Mount Shasta. And some of the stories, like back in the 1930s, they said that little people, perhaps the last of the Lemurians, would come out with little bags of gold and trade with the farmers for food and whatever, and go back into the mountain, into the caverns. And some of the people who've been in the caverns in Mount Shasta, they said they hear strange machinery inside the caverns. Like maybe there could be a UFO base there.
I'll tell you what, we have a break coming up now in about, about 20 seconds. So when we come back from this break, we'll have a good long time to talk, and we'll open the phone lines for our audience to call in. But I really want to get into these caves at Mount Shasta, and let's talk about that and what people say they've run across there. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Don't go away. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Paul Dale Roberts, and we're talking about all manner of paranormal stuff, and he's been up to his elbows in it all. Let me remind you before I open the telephone line that the music that we play on this show is all independent artists. And you need to support them by buying their music, and you can find them, most of them that we play, you'll find them at garageband.com or music.podshow.com. If you like their music, go over there, you can buy their CDs, or you can just listen to it for free online, but support these folks that make such great music, these independent artists. All right, tell you what let's do. Let's just go ahead and open up the telephone line. The telephone number will appear on the screen here shortly, but let me tell you what it is. The telephone number is 623-237-3814. And the line is open. So 1-623-237-3814. If you are outside of the United States, or if you're outside of Canada, all right, the phone number works from anywhere in the world. You can call it. But if you're outside of the United States or outside of Canada, it is totally acceptable for you to send me a flash message, and you do that by going to my website. You get over to my website, kevinsmithshow.com. Just scroll down, and you'll see in green letters, you'll see a link that says flash message. And you can send me a flash message with your comment or question, and I'll check those periodically, and I'll read them on the air, and we'll get our guests to respond to it. All right, let's go to the telephone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. How you doing? This is Don.
Hi, Don.
How you doing, Robert? How you doing, Paul?
Oh, hey, how you doing, Don?
Good, good. Good to hear you tonight.
Good to hear you.
Yeah, Paul is my premier writer for the Alien Seeker News. He gives me exclusives, and he gives my stories before he gives anybody else, and he really keeps my site going for me.
Well, I'll tell you what, I went over there and read some of his articles today, and he's an excellent writer, that's for sure.
Man, he's got a bunch of articles. He's a eager beaver when it comes to writing. Just writes away. People haven't been over there lately, he's got a recent article about an investigation they did over in California, and they caught this real neat picture of a vortex.
Well, you know, that's one I didn't read.
No, you didn't.
So I'll have to go back and read that one.
Yeah, that's a pretty neat picture there.
All right. You have a question or a comment?
No, I just wanted to call in and say hello, and also to give the heads up that that famous radio hoax, I think his name is, what's his name, Kevin Smith, has got a new article over on my website.
I do indeed.
I saw that. Hey, Don, I saw Kevin Smith's article. It was excellent.
Yeah, Kevin Smith's a good writer.
Well, thank
you. He's a very good writer. And it's just amazing of all the people that contribute to Alien Seeker News, and just some exceptional writing is on there. And if you want to know anything about the paranormal, Alien Seeker News is the place.
It is indeed. Hey, Don, thanks for the call, man.
Okay, take care.
All right. Yeah, it really, truly is an excellent site, not just because they publish my articles. I can get my articles published several places, and do sometimes, but I always send them to Alien Seeker News first, and the reason is it is such a fantastic resource. It's just got great stuff. All right, folks, the telephone number is 623-237-3814, 623-237-3814. And I'm trying to answer a phone call right now. There we go. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, this is Paul from New York. How you doing?
Outstanding, Paul. How are you this evening?
Good. I have a question for your guest.
All right.
Paul, how you doing? I was just wondering if you've ever investigated the Billy Meier case and if you have an opinion on his sightings and everything he's had to say.
What about that, Paul? Have you investigated the Billy Meier case? And if so, what's your opinion?
No, I haven't, and I wish I could. Billy Myers is a very incredible person because he's, you know, he's seen all those UFOs, he's taken all those pictures, and, you know, and I've read a few things in, you know, a Skeptic magazine where they just really, you know, tear him apart, but who's not to say that he is some type of contactee for these, for this alien civilization, where they use Billy Myers to put out their word, so... no one really knows, and, you know, unless we can really take Billy Myers and place him under some type of regressive hypnosis and find out exactly what the story is, and maybe, you know, even do a lie detector, that would be something I would love to do just to find out what the real truth is.
Okay, thank you very much.
Appreciate All right, thanks, Paul. All right, folks, what do you think about Billy Meier? Maybe you have an opinion about that. But in order for us to hear from you, we've got to see our telephone light up. And in order for that to happen, you've got to call this number, 623-237-3814. 1-623-237-3814. You know, the Billy Meier case is just an amazing case, Paul. Some of the photographs and some of the things that he has written about seem so incredible that, you know, at first blush you say it just can't be true. And yet, some of the things that he's written about years and years ago, where it said by a certain time this will have happened and that will have happened, it did, just exactly like what he wrote. Now, the reason I bring that up is because you mentioned angels earlier, and we've talked about several ancient manuscripts or writings, the Sumerians, the Indians, and there are others. But, you know, I think sometimes people don't stop and think about how people that are really into, for instance, the Bible, a lot of times don't stop and think, how did that happen when it says that the Lord spoke through this prophet? Well, where did the prophet hear it from? You know, sometimes it was from an angel. And,
right.
You know. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Well, good evening, Kevin. This is Louis from Connecticut, and good evening, Paul.
All right, Louis, I tell you what. You're going to have to speak directly into your phone, and I'm going to turn your volume up. That'll help some.
Okay.
That's a little better.
Paul? Good evening, Paul. Good evening, Kevin.
Good evening.
Yes.
How's it going?
All righty. My opinion is, Paul, when you talk about Enki, now, Kevin was saying before, how did the Sumerians know about Pluto? You know, my opinion is, say, for instance, I was talking to you, you know, and what will we do nowadays? We'll get a phone number or email, right? I believe the Sumerians would have left something, like maybe the looking glass, or maybe they had a way where they actually see Pluto. I don't believe that they actually got told. I believe the Sumerians would have left a piece of something, right? Like something about the looking glass, where they go in time or the future, okay? Because it wasn't there a certain area that was protected where certain people, they can go back to their planet, where Enki and them, there was a certain spot that was well protected.
You're talking about a Stargate?
Right, so like a Stargate, where they kept their ships and everything.
And you know what's really interesting, because you talk about, let's say, Stargate, scientists now say, you know, that a Stargate is very, very possible. And the reason why is there's a thing called the collapse system. And the collapse system is basically, if you take a piece of paper and you write A on one side and you write B on the other side, you fold it in half, A and B come together. And they said that it's very possible that these spaceships don't have to travel the vastness of space, that they could use the collapse system to get from one point A to point B to the other side of the universe. So it's very feasible that we could be visited by aliens. And one thing is, if they are visiting us, sure, you know, maybe an ancient civilization, they had to kickstart things, you know, show us how to use fire and stuff like that. But now, you know, we can take care of ourselves. We're not doing a very good job at it. And so they don't have to intervene yet. But for them to, you know, come down here and everything and observe us, they don't need to really let us know that they're here, because they can do almost anything they want. Their intelligence is on a high, high level. We can't even compete with it. So they don't need, we're just like mere ants to them. But when we start destroying this planet, that's when I think the intervention will take place. And that's the stories that you see in the Bible, the second coming of Christ and everything else. You know, where they talk about even the Aztecs and the Mayans talking about their sun god coming back again. That's when the intervention will probably take place, where they need to show themselves and step in and help us before we destroy this planet.
Well, Paul, Paul Dale Roberts, we got two Pauls on the phone here, Paul Dale Roberts. What about what the other Paul asked about the possibility that these Anunnaki left some type of device with the Sumerians that they could see Pluto?
Well, that's very possible, because just like the Ark of the Covenant, that was probably some kind of communication device where the people from Israel were able to communicate with God. It was a device that they left behind, or a device that they told us how to create. And it's very possible the Anunnakians left a device for the Sumerians, and I totally believe that. That could very, very well have happened. Just like the possible ancient civilizations of Atlantis and Mu, were probably...
I don't know what happened. We lost him.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there was probably like a galactic federation that there were, you know, a very intelligent race of people who probably very much were aware of extraterrestrials and probably did some trading with them and everything else, and they had this great civilization, and somehow they destroyed each other. destroyed, you know, the Atlantis somehow destroyed itself, and the moon somehow destroyed itself. So it's very possible that we had this connection and we lost it. And I think that at some point in time, we're going to have that connection again.
Paul, even though we were in, I was not in the Army, I was in international police, you were in the Army, we did sort of similar circumstances and similar jobs. And I get asked sometimes, and I want to ask you, I get asked sometimes, how is it that someone, you know, with the training and background that I've got, which is somewhat similar to the training and background you've got, how is it that I could believe all this nonsense about the paranormal? Well, my answer is, well, I don't believe nor disbelieve. I investigate, I ask questions. But what they're getting at is they think that because of this type of background that I should just dismiss all of this. How would you respond to that?
The same thing. I go out and I investigate. I talk to people. I go to the site. I look at things. I use scientific equipment to try to get, you know, especially EVPs. And like, you know, you see all the orb pictures. Well, orbs, it could be anything. It could be a skin flake. It could be dust. It could be I don't know, dew in the air. But if you can show on a video camera that the orb has some type of intelligent movement, and I've seen it done. Shannon McCabe was at this very, very haunted home, and I told her, I said, tell the orbs to go towards your outstretched hand. And the orb, about maybe about five of them, went towards her hand. That shows some type of intelligent movement. And then I would ask a certain, you know, I would ask certain things, and I said, okay, go across my chest two times for a yes and one time for a no. And I actually got that. And at one point in time, I said, okay, if this is a real entity, sit on my lap. And right on the monitor, I'm looking at the monitor, and I could see an orb hovering over my lap. So that shows some type of intelligence, and that's what I seek. I seek the truth. I heard with my own ears the girl giggling and saying hi to me. So I know there's something there, you know.
Well, I'll tell you my response. My response to all of this, I think, is very similar to yours, but it's this. How is it that I'm interested in this? Well, because it's interesting, period. How is it that with my background that I don't just dismiss this? Because that's precisely what I was trained not to do. I was trained not to dismiss any little tidbit of information. I was trained to take it and test it and qualify it and then categorize it in terms of its reliability. And so, you know, if you start tossing bits of information and say, oh, that's nonsense, I won't even consider that, what you're doing is refusing to test it and examine it and to qualify it. You're refusing to be a professional investigator.
Right.
So real pros can't ignore the paranormal.
And when you eliminate everything that it has a plausible answer, everything that's normal, you eliminate all the normal stuff, and you have nothing left that's normal. You can't say that it's part of the environment. There's and you're looking at the toxology, the toxic levels of the soil or stuff like that. Maybe that's causing hallucinations or it's causing headaches and stuff like that. When you eliminate all that stuff that could be a possible answer, then the only thing that's left is the paranormal.
Yeah, and I've quoted this before. That's very similar to something I read. Sir Arthur Conan Doyle wrote the Sherlock Holmes stories, and in one of those stories, Holmes says, whenever you eliminate everything that is possible. Whatever is left, no matter how improbable, is the truth.
Right.
And so, you know, people think that it's improbable that there are spirits. Well, there's a lot of stuff you can't explain away, and when you've eliminated everything that you can explain away, and those spirits or those things, whatever they are still there.
And here, Kevin, and here's the clincher. Okay, here we are, living bodies. I mean, we have intelligence, we're walking around, we're alive. And if you go into the quantum level of things, if I could make my hand and my arm into quantum energy, I would be able to place my arm right through you and out, and you would still be alive because you're made of atoms. You are energy. And and Einstein says E equals MC squared. Energy can be converted into matter and matter into energy.
Mm-hmm.
And if matter can have intelligence, why can't energy? They say that when we, at the instance of death, that we lose 21 grams. Well, where does that 21 grams come from? Is it blood? Is it tissue? Or is it energy? In the Kirlian photographs that the Russians have done, and they look at the aura that's around us, this energy that's always around us, produced by our brain. And this aura looks like it's actually leaving your mind, your brain area, your forehead area. And I can't understand why people can't believe that, you know, that ghosts could possibly exist, because they can believe that we exist and we're living beings, but we are energy beings. I mean, in the atomic level, we are made of atoms. We are pure energy, and we have knowledge. We have intelligence. We have memories.
Well, do you know one of the best proofs for the existence of spirit or soul or consciousness, whatever you want to call it, is your automobile. It has tremendous potential energy. It can't do anything until an intelligent being gets in it and thinks of all the things that have to happen, and then, you know, we get in it and serve as the brain for the car. The car is just a vehicle. It can't do anything without us in it, right? Well,
right.
Your body is
right.
The same way. Your body can't do anything if you're not in it. You are not your body. The body is just a car you're driving around. And once you leave it, it can't do anything.
Right. And even some of the abductees, they even, you know, that when they communicate with the aliens have told them that we're just mere vessels. So we're just mere vessels. So they seem like they know about our soul. They know about the aura that's around our body.
Well, and in a really interesting way, this sort of dovetails into the whole subject of UFOs, because we have heard that UFOs, the craft that have been that crashed and that are alleged to have been recovered, we have heard people who say they have worked on back engineering these things say that in some way that the scientists don't understand, the craft, the UFO, and its pilot sort of do a mind meld.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's the craft is flown not by hardwire and controls and a stick like we have in jet aircraft. It's flown by the mind of the pilot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
And I believe that's very possible.
So that would be mind over matter, wouldn't it? It would be.
Right, right. And they say that aliens don't talk to you with their mouth. They actually telepathy. They use telepathy to communicate with you.
That's true.
And, and right now people who are blind or deaf or whatever, They're using a technique where with their brain waves are able to manipulate a computer.
That is true as well. All right, we have a break that is on us in about 10 seconds. And when we come back from this break, I'll open the phone line and take calls. So get your fingers ready, and we'll be ready to take your calls. We'll be back, folks, right after this. The telephone line is open, and the telephone number is 1-623-237-3814. My guest is Paul Dale Roberts. He has quite a career in the military as a drug enforcement agent, as a analyst, intelligence in an intelligence unit, analyst of photographs, and then he also was a trainer for all types of special forces. These days, he is a paranormal investigator and has looked into all kinds, all manner of paranormal things. So you may have a question or a comment. Paul, we were sort of talking about the mind meld that is alleged to take place between the UFOs and their pilots, and the ability we have the ability now with our technology for people who are paralyzed or have some other disability, they can wear this headband that reads their thoughts, and with it they can control a computer. So let me ask you this. How close do you think we are to being able to fly aircraft that way? Yeah, go ahead, Paul.
Hello. Oh, okay, okay. First off, before I get into that, and you as a former...
Okay, well, we had someone that we brought online and just didn't want to wait. If you don't want to wait, don't call. Telephone number is 623-237-3814. All right, go ahead, Paul.
Okay, I just want to say one thing really quick before we get into that. As a former police officer, when you take statements from people, you look for consistency.
Okay, we've got somebody playing jokes with us here. All right, go ahead. You look for consistency.
Yeah, right, and that's one of the things that I do as an investigator. I see that their story is consistent.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll ask them again. I'll repeat the question again and see if there's any consistencies to their answers, you know, to determine what they're saying is true or not true. And I look for contradictions because I'll look at something and say, wait a minute, you said back here that this happened. So, and I know that you as a police officer, you've done the same thing, correct?
That is correct. Tell you what, let's try one more time to bring this person online, and we'll see. I don't know what's going on. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Okay, Brent, you're on the air.
Okay, now, Paul, I'm going to go on something Kevin said earlier about the pilots of the spaceships doing a mind meld thing. And I heard some research once that they had successfully transferred a signal from one gene or from one cell of one person to another cell of the same person in a Petri dish. I'm just wondering if it could amplify that and perform some kind of mind meld so that the computer on the ship was run by a genetic code. Would that work?
Well, one of the things that they say, scientists say, is that with true artificial intelligence, what's to say that they don't take a human brain, a living human brain, and place it into a computer where the computer would actually have a mind of its own. And possibly, let's say, for pilots to fly an airplane that's using real artificial intelligence, that there could possibly be already a mind, a living organic mind in there, a brain, to run the airplane. And for that pilot to have some type of helmet where it can communicate using signals to tell that plane what to do.
Yeah, brain to brain.
Brain to brain.
The possibility of cloning that brain using stem cells so that you can have two brains from one person. One brain is the ship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I suppose it could be done. Hey,
it could possibly be done because they're talking about infusing a real human brain into a computer and creating real artificial intelligence.
Brent, thank you for the call, man. I appreciate it.
Yep,
goodbye. All right, let's bring, I don't know if this one is going to work or not, but let's see. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yes, good evening, Kevin. This is Kevin from Northern Alberta calling.
Hi, Kevin. How are you doing?
Oh, good. We're getting rain here in the end of January. Crazy weather.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's that global warming.
Well, last week it was global freezing, so...
What's on your mind this evening?
I was going to ask Paul. Hello?
Yeah, we're waiting.
Okay, sorry. Uh-huh. I was going to ask Paul. He's got a fairly big resume in his paranormal investigations. What does he enjoy following most? The UFOs, the EVPs, or what?
Good question. What do you like best, Paul?
Well, that's a hard one. That is tough. I really want more answers on UFOs. I wish I could take a person like Bob Lazar and really talk to him, interview him, because if you ever listen to when he talked and he talked about back engineering and UFOs, his stories are so consistent. I can't find any contradictions to his stories. So that's why I would probably like to talk to him myself. And so what would I favor more? Probably UFOs.
Okay, and what's your most favorite case that you have investigated in UFOs?
Can you say that again? I'm sorry.
He wants to know what's your favorite case that you have investigated regarding UFOs.
Well, it's just one of the things that just it really made me excited was when I was with military intelligence, and I wasn't even investigating UFOs, but to actually see those six UFO photos come in. And that told me right there that our government knows something about UFOs, that they're curious about UFOs. So that told me that we're not alone. And so that was very, very exciting. It was also, too, very exciting when I went to Mount Shasta because five of our investigators were using telescopes, binoculars, and five of our investigators claimed that they saw UFOs. And the very next day, we take a picture of an investigator, and she's standing with the mountain behind her, and up in the sky is a tilted UFO disc. And I sent it to some of the ufologists, and they said, it doesn't look like conventional aircraft. It looks like a UFO.
Yeah. Well, all right. Kevin, you have another question or comment?
No, that's fine. Thank you, gentlemen.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Well, thank you.
All right, folks, the telephone number is 1-623-237-3814. 623-237-3814. Or if you're outside of the United States and you're outside of Canada, you can send us a flash message and I'll read it on the air. You know, this thing with the photographs. And then you're talking about the, you know, possible UFO base at Mount Shasta. Did anything in those photographs look like things that have been seen over at Mount Shasta?
Which photographs are you talking about, Kevin?
The six photographs you were just talking about.
Oh, the six photographs that I was looking at. Okay. Mm-hmm. One photograph did. It was your classic disc. So the disc that I saw in the photograph at Mount Shasta, it was your classic disc. It was a silverish-type disc. And the other ones I saw a cigar shape. I saw one that looked like a globe. Other ones kind of look like blurry light, but the military intelligence was, you know, like I was saying, that they were saying that they were they had intelligent movement from the videos. So
I don't. Yeah,
and I guess most UFOs. Well, now you got the triangles. I've never seen that. So, like the triangles that you hear about. Flying over England, flying over the United States, and stuff like that. So,
I don't know if you heard it or if you're aware of it, but today this hit the news that the Danish Air Force is releasing all of their UFO files, all their investigations into UFOs, about 15,000 of them, they say. They're putting them online. And the reason that they gave is because... first of all, most of what's reported is not UFOs, but, and the article said, the ones on which they had the most detail and information from the witnesses were the ones they could not explain away. However, whatever UFOs are, they do not appear to be, to pose a threat to their national security. And so they're releasing all their files.
Right. Now, here's the interesting thing. I've talked to some abductees who didn't want articles written about them.
Uh-huh.
And some of the abductees that I've talked to, they talked about what is called angel stops. The military was in coercion. I can't even talk. I'm standing outside and it's cold out here. But anyway, the military was actually working along with the Greys. And at some point in time, that the military was asking for technology from the Greys in turn for the Greys to go ahead and abduct a few people here and there for their DNA manipulation or experiments or whatever. And these were called angel stops that the military were monitoring.
Angel stops?
Angel stops. The military was calling them angel stops. And these are from abductees that I've actually interviewed. And they told me, and they communicated with the Greys and stuff like that. And they said with these angel stops, the military started noticing that the Greys were abducting more people than they were supposed to. And that caused some kind of conflict with the military and the Greys. And this is the story that they're related to me. And I think I mentioned it in a couple of my articles, but... So it looks like the military is trying to get technology from the Greys while the Greys are trying to get more abductions to do their DNA experiments.
Philip Schneider talked about that, and he claimed that there had actually been a battle in a deep underground military base between some of our special forces, I think Delta, and these aliens that were working underground in a base underground. According to him, I think I'm correct in this, we lost 66 men. I believe that's correct. And he was shot with some type of electric or pulse energy and did a lot of damage to him. Now, I cannot vouch for that and say that I know that's true. I can only say that I know that's what he said. But it seems to fit along with what you're talking about. We have to take a break. We'll be back. When we come back, I'll take one or two more calls, and then we're out of here because we'll be on Final Approach. Don't go away. right. We are back, and my guest is Paul Dale Roberts. He is a prolific writer. You can read his articles over at alienseekernews.com, among other places. He's published elsewhere, but you can catch him there. And I invite you to do that. If you've never been to Alien Seeker News, it's alienseekernews.com, all one word. If you've never been, you owe it to yourself to go take a look at that and just kick around in there. It is massive. Lots of information, and it's great stuff. But Paul is not only a prolific writer, he is a paranormal investigator with a real investigator's background. And, it's not always what you get with paranormal investigations, but that's what you get with Paul Dale Roberts. The telephone line is open, and we'll take one, maybe two calls. We're on final approach. 623-237-3814. Paul, when you saw those six pictures, did it absolutely confirm in your mind that, number one, UFOs are real, and number two, all of those stories about swamp gas and weather balloons were nonsense, or did you have some other response to it?
No, absolutely. When I saw the photographs, I knew at that point in time that the military was interested in UFOs. UFOs are either something they don't understand or they're something they know about and they're watching, and that we are not alone. And to think that we are alone is just is absolutely ludicrous. I mean, billions and billions of suns and billions of planets, we definitely cannot be alone. And
well, I agree with that.
Yeah. So, it was very exciting for me to see the photographs. And even like Dr. Alan Hynek, when he said his swamp gas, that case where he was saying everything was swamp gas.
Yeah, I think that was in Michigan.
Yeah, in Michigan. And he later on, he said that he was put up to say that. So that was the thing with Project Blue Book, in the story, say it's swamp gas. So,
well, Dr. J. Allen Hynek said that he was hired to go out and debunk all these UFO reports. His job was to explain them away. And as he looked at them more and more and more as a scientist, he came to the conclusion that they were real and that he just couldn't participate in that anymore.
And he opened up his own center for UFO studies. In fact, believe it or not, my ex-girlfriend back in the 70s saw a UFO in Sacramento, which was actually published in Sacramento Bee. And two other people saw the same UFO in two different areas, and all three people who saw the UFO did not know each other. And my ex-girlfriend, her name was in the newspaper, so I could say her name, Helen Lane, who saw the UFO. When she told me, I didn't believe her at first, and I said, okay, let me take you down to the sheriff's, the police department, and they gave her an 800 toll-free number, and she got to talk to Dr. J. Allen Hynek, and I got to talk to him later because he asked me, he goes, did you see the UFO? I go, no. And he goes, what were you doing? I said, I was watching TV. And he goes, well, what happened when you were watching TV? I said, well, I couldn't even tell you what I was watching. I was watching Dick Van Dyke's The Comic. And when she was screaming outside saying that she saw the UFO, the TV went static. And he goes, well, that usually happens when UFOs are nearby. Car engines stall. TV, radios go into a static mode, and so he put that down in his report. So I actually got to talk to Dr. J. L. Hynek. So that was an honor.
I want to tell people something that I didn't tell you I was going to tell, but I think our audience deserves to know. Paul is traveling right now. And when it came time for him to be on the show, He pulled his car over to the side of the road, stopped, and got out, and he's standing out on the side of the road for 2 hours now to talk with you folks. And, Paul, you know, I think that's a first. Out of 8 years that I've been doing the show, I think that's a first. And I do appreciate it so much for you to sacrifice like that to be with us tonight.
Oh, not a problem, Kevin. I love being on your show. So it's a fantastic honor for me and everything else. And I appreciate Alien Secret News for you know, turning me on to you. So that was great.
All right. Now, we just have, I don't know, 4 minutes or less. What is the most important thing you think, from your opinion, the most important thing that we need to be looking at in terms of paranormal investigations right now?
Right now, I think we're just like really close to discovery of actually showing and proving that there is life after death. With the EVP evidence that we're now getting, also to being able to show some type of intelligent movement when you get an anomaly on your video, it shows that there's something there. And if there's life after death, what is it that's out there after you die?
In other words, what sort of a universe do you experience?
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that there's, you know, a multitude of dimensions. I think we live in a multiverse where there's dimensions upon dimensions upon dimensions. And science are all saying that they do believe that there's many dimensional worlds out there, that the... that we live in a multiverse, a universe upon a universe upon a universe. So I think the whole universe, the multiverse, is just teeming with life. And I think we're just so close to proving that there is life after death. And with all the ghost hunters out there, and because it's so popular and everything else with the paranormal investigators, I think we're going to actually come up with something. And I hope the same thing happens with UFOs. I hope someday there will be some disclosure. And I think the government is hiding a lot. And it's time for them to speak out and say, hey, we're not alone. I think we're ready for that type of information.
There is a physicist by the name of Nassim Haramein who's been on this show. And he says that every little piece, every little bit of matter, every atom is a fractal, and a fractal has everything that it's a piece that has everything that the whole picture has. And he said, so it's like looking into an endless reflection of mirrors. I don't know if folks have ever been to a barber shop where you have a mirror in front and a mirror in back, and you can look into one of them and you can see forever reflections.
My dad's house. He has a mirror like that.
Okay, well, Nassim Haramein says that the universe is like that, and that each reflection is its own universe.
Right.
Which is a reflection of the universe, which is a reflection of the universe, which is a reflection of the universe, or a fractal of the universe. And so you've got all these pieces of universes that are all total universes in themselves. Now, that's a mind bender.
Right. And I think there's all types of variations in every type of alternate universe. So in one world, here I am, I'm single. And, but in another world, another alternate world, it's a situation where I saw this girl, but I didn't go over and talk to her. But in the other world, I did, and she's now my wife.
Yeah, lifelines, different timelines.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Running concurrently. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, listen, we have reached the end of the show, and if you will, I want you to just stay on the line with me for a moment. And I'll talk with you just briefly after we close the show. Folks, What can I say? Paul Dale Roberts, go over to Alien Seeker News, read the articles. There's a bunch of articles over there that he's written. You'll enjoy them. All right, I hope some of you were wise enough to take advantage of the free offer we had tonight for Ed Grimsley's Night Vision UFO Wars DVD. If you did, it goes out in the mail tomorrow. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.